chaos is everywhere.
Everybody, it's Jonathan Gilchrist. I'm here to tell you about another podcast in the Chaos Family Podcast. This time we're doing Chaos of Ringside. Chaos of Ringside is a every other week discussion of current wrestling events. We cover mostly AEW and ROH, at least those are our deep dives. But if there's big news in the world of wrestling, whether it be WWE, AAA, New Japan, or Impact, we will cover it and we'll give you our opinion. We also do prediction shows for major pay-per-view events. So come and join us, and we'll tell you all about the wonderful, weird world of wrestling. See you soon, everybody. Hey, everybody. Welcome to We Are Chaos. I am your host, Jonathan Gilchrist, on the road with someone that's driving for some reason, DJ Nedmeth.
On the road again.
And when I say on the road, I mean literally we are on the highway driving. We are going to be doing a podcast while we're doing this. And, I guess we'll see how this works. Hopefully the sound comes out okay.
Sometimes you try and fail, and the lesson is, never try again.
Right. But if you hear the weird thing in the background, yeah, that's the highway. Anyhoozle. This is a We Are Chaos. We are going to be discussing a Doctor Who episode. This will be in replace of Chaos the Final Frontier, just because I've been out of town for the weekend. So hopefully we'll still have our scheduled Chaos of Ringside that's also planned. But we'll get to that on Wednesday. We're going to be talking about Doctor Who, the third special that aired on Disney Plus, The Giggle. And we just watched it last night. So I think I'll start by just doing the thing where I do the summary.
Remember, you don't have to summarize the whole 90 minutes or whatever.
I will summarize whatever I want to summarize.
Fine, all right. If we get out of the car before you're done, then we have a
Then you'll just listen to the summary and you'll be happy. So, The Giggle starts off with I think a 1925 Soho toy shop, and, his name just fell out of my head. Neil Patrick Harris. I've been talking about Neil Patrick Harris for, like, the 2 days, because I love him in this, and it just
flew
my head.
People with three names, you get lost, because there's a number of them.
Yeah.
They're all vastly different from each other.
I wanted to say David Hyde Pierce. See, it was
there
a different...
Three
names. But yeah, Neil Patrick Harris, who is awesome in this episode. If you have no other reason to watch Doctor Who, watch this episode just for all the stuff that Neil Patrick Harris does in this episode.
If you like juggling and pizzazz, you're in for a treat.
Juggling, magic, dancing, like singing, I think, at one point. But anyway, he's playing a guy that owns a shop, and he's German, but very, very stereotypical German, in a Willy Wonka almost level of German. And a guy comes in, wants to buy a puppet, and he says that's Stooky Bill, the puppet. And the guy says, oh, we're working on this new thing called television. And so he goes back to the lab, they put the puppet on this weird apparatus, and eventually set it on fire, because apparently television was really hot when it was first invented. And I think all of that is actually true. But yeah, so Stooky Bill becomes the first thing ever to be on television. We then fast forward to modern London, which starts off where the last special left off, where it's been like chaos in the streets. We don't know why. And basically the chaos is caused by everybody thinking that they're right.
All of the time.
All of the time. Like they're
never wrong.
And they think everyone else is stupid for thinking that they're right. And, like, this is causing car crashes, plane crashes, all sorts of stuff. And there's Neil Patrick Harris dancing in a top hat and tails. And you're like, wait a minute, he was just in 1923. That's a little weird. And then the doctor's going around trying to figure out what's going on. And he actually grabs the doctor and starts dancing with him. And I don't think he actually says anything to him. He just starts dancing with him.
Weird eye contact.
Yeah. And then the doctor gets picked up by Unit, who's like the alien people guys that always help him.
United Something Intelligence Team.
United, I don't remember.
Yeah, exactly. United something intelligence team.
I should remember because I've seen in more National episodes.
I don't know.
Or
it could be United. United intelligence team. There you go.
There are more hardcore Doctor Who fans are yelling at me.
Looks like the Avengers Tower. But
yeah. They go to what is the Avengers Tower because they have Disney money now, so they can have an Avengers Tower. And they basically tell him that, yeah, it's happening everywhere ever since a satellite was launched and basically connected the entire world for the first time with internet. Like, everywhere on the world is connected now. And they have these armbands that stop them from doing it, but if the armbands aren't on, they fall into it just like everybody else, but only the humans. No aliens are affected. And long story, they just find out that, one, they can shoot down the satellite, but two, it's coming from the fact that inside the picture of Stooky Bill, which has been in every television since the beginning, is a like a harmonic sound that is like what is carrying this and making everyone go crazy. So the Doctor goes back in time to figure out where the hell Stooky Bill came from. He goes to the toy shop and he realizes, oh shit, this is the Cosmic Toy Maker, which we'll talk about that, but there's a lot more. Oh no, it's the Celestial Toy Maker. Very specifically, Celestial is like very heavily implied. They never call him that in this special for reasons that I'll talk about. But the Toy Maker is like, oh, aren't you happy to see me? Because this goes all the way back to like 1960 something with the very first Doctor. There's an episode where he meets the Toy Maker in a different dimension and defeats him in a game. And so he gets to leave. But now the Toy Maker is in our universe and he basically can do anything he wants. He can warp reality in any way he wants. The only thing that, the only rule that binds him is the rule of play, which basically means that if you challenge him to a game, he has to do it and he won't cheat. But if you lose, like, he gets a prize, which is usually something horrible for you. So, but
if you win, you get a prize.
Right. But I'm skipping over some other stuff because there's a lot of creepy puppet stuff, which we can talk about.
Really great. Hold on. I just want to point that out to, like, trigger warning for anyone
that doesn't like puppets.
Doesn't like creepy puppet stuff. Definitely the first, I don't know, 12 to 15 minutes has some
mostly
good, bad puppet stuff.
I did not know that was a thing for you, and 100%. Then that happened. But yeah, creepy puppet stuff happens, and then the Doctor challenges him to a game, which is technically their second game, and they just do card cuts, and the Toy Maker wins. But because rules of play, which I wonder how far this goes. Like, could the Doctor have said best out of seven if he lost? But I'm assuming 2 out of 3 is it. But yeah, he says because of rules of play, I won the first game, you won this game, so we have to play again 2 out of 3. And the Toy Maker's like, okay, well, if we're going to play 2 out of 3, let's do it in 2023. So, back to the future we go. And then, like, one of my favorite scenes in all of Doctor Who at this point, once they get back, the Toy Maker shows up and fucking starts dancing around with the Spice Girls, which is fucking awesome. I don't know if you knew that was the Spice Girls.
I love the Spice Girls, and I'm upset that I did not recognize that. I don't feel like a true fan.
Apparently.
But I do love the Spice Girls, so I am a true fan.
Right. Apparently, it's a really big song in Britain, because, like, Neil Patrick Harris, I saw a thing where he's like, apparently, like, everybody on set knew the song, and he didn't. And it's like, you know, it's like their national anthem or something.
There you go, that checks out.
But, yeah.
I feel more American now.
So, like, he dances around, he turns guns to bullets, he turns two different security guys into bouncing balls. Just horrible, horrible stuff. And then when he disappears, he ends up back on a giant laser that they have that they use to shoot down the satellite. That was supposed to, I think it was supposed to help. I don't know.
It was communicating the gig.
Right. It was supposed to, like,
because it all started on television. The satellite they found in the trigger was sending that message over and over.
Right.
And
the
over
satellite again was like the last link to make every screen do this. But if they get rid of the satellite, not every place is connected. So hopefully it'll help. They never really talk about, because the ending is defeating the Toy Maker is what solves it. Spoiler. But yeah, then the Doctor comes out and is like, please don't use this giant gun to shoot these people. And so the Toy Maker's like, okay, but he shoots the Doctor because according to the Doctor's rules, he played the first game with one doctor. He played the second game with another doctor, so he has to play the third game with a new doctor. And he does that. And this is a big thing we can talk about, but instead of just regenerating, he does what's called bi-regeneration, which is like something that never was discussed before, but that's kind of how Doctor Who works.
New concept.
They can always throw stuff in there. But basically it means he splits into two, him, same David Tennant doctor and the new doctor. And I'll talk more about like what that actually means, because it's more complicated than just two of them. It's like two of them from different time periods. But then they play a game of catch, because it's all about simple games, and they win, and the Doctor banishes the toy maker from our universe forever, and I hope that doesn't happen. I want them to find another reason to bring him back, especially Neil Patrick Harris, but we'll see. I mean, the Master keeps coming back, like, every fucking
time. Don't forget the whole golden tooth thing.
Right. That was one of the things. One of the people the Toymaker defeated was the Master, and he turned the Master into his golden tooth. At the end of the episode, you see that the golden tooth is still on the helicopter pad, and somebody picks it up.
Somebody with nail polish.
Right, and there's a lot of speculation on who that was. But, yeah, so the Toymaker's defeated, and then it all becomes about the new Doctor saying, hey, you really need to stop because of all the shit we've gone through in the last, like, billion years, and we've never stopped. And the David Tennant's like, well, you're fine. And it's like, yeah, I'm fine because you took the time to heal. So you need to do that so I can be okay. So that's basically where we end up. The reason the David Tennant came back in canon is because he could go to Donna. Donna would recognize him. And basically he could live with her and her family and heal, and then the new doctor could go off. Oh, and because of both of them winning, the new doctor's prize was he could create a new TARDIS by like whacking the old one, and then there were two of them. There's a lot of like Doctor Who. I said this last night to you. Did you, man? Doctor Who, I think, is going to become a fantasy show, and I'll tell you a little bit more about the next special and like how like overall they've already done that. But that's basically it. We see David Tennant's Doctor get to have a family meal, and we get to watch the new Doctor fly away, listening to awesome tunes on his jukebox. So that's, I think that's pretty much it. That's pretty succinct. 11 minutes. That was pretty good for me. So,
give you a B+.
Yeah, I'm sure there's stuff that I skipped, but honestly, I will say before we get into any more analysis, go watch this episode just for fucking Neil Patrick Harris. Like, the stuff that I skipped over, the choices he made, I'll talk about some of them because they're very specific to like ways they were being true to the character from a kind of a not okay time, or at least not okay what they did back then wouldn't work now kind of thing. It's just amazing to me. Anyway, so we already talked a little bit about the puppets. What were your thoughts after watching the whole show?
Well, like, so some of the Neil Patrick Harris stuff, like the fact that he has a fake German accent that's like good enough to pass, but then it isn't. And then at one point he breaks character of like, he's not German anymore, and it slips into like American English. And the guy kind of points it out. And then even too with the doctor,
he also
like two times that he says like he goes from his like silly German wackiness to straight what he says like a very declarative like no,
right,
or like that's what last time was or something.
Yeah, that's
very,
oh, that's
like,
all
American
right.
American English,
yeah,
and like very passive aggressively the way he does that. So,
but
like,
he also has
character.
A like a British like James Bond character he gets into like when he's on the gun. Because there's a third accent. Like, when he's on the gun, he doesn't do German anymore. He's doing, like, British, almost James Bondy, and, like, talking to the doctors. He's giving that speech about games and how the Earth is perfect.
Well, maybe that blended because of, you know, Doctor Who and a lot of the British stuff, so that made more sense. Good point out.
Yeah.
So, yes, the juggling, all of the even the catch, like, that little back and forth of catch is, like, the most hardcore game of catch I could ever possibly imagine.
Yeah, it was really good.
And you have to follow the rules. Like, you can't just be like a total dick and just like throw it off of the platform.
Right.
But so initial things outside of the creepy stuff. Oh, I will shout out. It's like, I think there's something to this. So like, a lot of the toy maker stuff in that reference, because even it's called like an emporium. Like, Mission Megorium's Wonder Emporium is a fine movie, but like a lot of the things from that movie, there's like bits and pieces that go into that story. So I still feel like, and I know like Doctor Who's very like historically accurate and that kind of stuff, but like that, like the toy maker or something like that probably stems from like some like old German tradition story or something, because yeah, like
definitely
there was
for this
too
episode.
Much commonality for that, because even like the fact that we didn't talk about it, like in the beginning when he realizes the toy maker, they go into all these rooms to try to like figure stuff out, and like that's one of the main things within that movie is like there's these different rooms with different magical powers, and like the person who enters them or the person who created it has like a say in it, but they don't realize it.
Right.
So like there's just a lot of like cool crossover, and even the music stuff was kind of cool, like how they deciphered that the message that was making everyone say like I am right and no one else is right was not only a musical thing, but literally a giggle and a tone. Like, I wouldn't have made that connection. I'm like, how is this going to go back to the puppets? And
right.
then the fact that, like, a lot of unexplained stuff, because that was one thing, too, I will say, like, for the, you know, for the viewers of our show, if you don't know Doctor Who stuff, I'm sure there's some stuff you're going to miss out on, because, like, the whole family and all that connection,
mm-hmm.
things near the end I had, like, no concept of, like, oh, these people are important. Or the throwback of, like, Melody or Melanie
yeah.
is, like, special to David Tennant's Doctor Who. But, like, that was the impression there, and you get that. But, like, I don't know the whole, like, significance
yeah,
of that.
Yeah, you'd have to watch all three specials, because all of her family were introduced in the first special. Like, her daughter's a big part of the first special. So, yeah, all those people are kind of introduced. But, yeah, so you'd have to watch all three of those specials.
Which goes back to our two-fold theme of everything that we recommend. We are both suggesting watch as a one-off, but also watch all of it forever.
Yeah.
You can do one or the other, or both.
Yeah, because also, to completely understand how the toy maker even got to our universe, you have to watch the special right before. The whole thing, I'll just tell you, is that the Doctor is at the edge of the universe, and in Doctor Who, you can get to the edge of the universe, and right there, like, the walls of reality are thin. And what he did was he was fighting these two creatures that didn't really know how the universe worked. So he used the superstition of if you pour salt, it's a Chinese superstition, in front of a vampire, before they can cross the salt, they have to count every grain of salt. And he used that to, like, slow down these creatures. But as soon as he did, it's like, well, that was a bad idea to do at this point in the universe to, like, introduce superstition like that. And I'll talk about it more, but I think that's what basically kind of broke Doctor Who reality, where now you're going to get more fantasy shit.
Oh, that was the other thing, too, because, like, he kept on referencing without, like, talking about it, of, like, he made a mistake the first time with the toy maker.
Yeah.
That was the weird guilt thing that came in, is, like, part of the reason why he wanted to do, you know, like, keep Donna out of it and whatever, is, like, he won, but, like, he didn't win in a way that, like, you know, kept him entirely away. Like,
right.
somehow it was, like, his fault of, you know, he didn't, you know, close up the loophole enough or something.
Right. He didn't, like, banish him forever, but he also, then he got smart at the edge of the universe with superstition, which opened the door so he could cross over.
Yeah, because that was the thing, too. That's, you're right, because the guilt thing goes back to, he's like, oh, I got smart, I got clever, like a little bit of, like, I know this is who I am, but, like, there are times of who I am that, like, kind of go too far over the top or,
right.
like, can create more chaos.
Right. So, speaking of, like, the original toy maker, so the guy that played him, which this blew my mind when I found out, was actually the guy that played Alfred in the original Batman movies, like Michael Keaton through George Clooney. And he's obviously a white guy. The reason I said it was important is because the Celestial toy maker, they... back in, like, 1960s, they wanted to show that he was, like, magical and otherworldly. And I guess a kind of weird shorthand at the time was, like, China was considered, like, otherworldly and, like,
yeah.
mysterious. So they dressed him up in, like, traditional Chinese robes and called him the Celestial Toy Maker. And Celestial had to do with China back then, too. So obviously they couldn't do that in 2023. So what they landed on was having him do multiple accents to show that he's not quite what he appears to be. That's why he's doing a cartoonishly German accent. It's like, you know, it's just that's the same kind of, like, where the fuck is this guy coming from? Which I love that decision. Like, it's such a cool way to, like, pay homage to the character, but also acknowledging, yeah, we can't do exactly what we did before with the character. So yeah, there's that. Let me think, what else is there that's really good? There's so much I love about this episode. I really loved the message, because if you do watch Doctor Who, you don't think about it, but he says in the episode he's over a billion years old, and that's completely true. You don't think about it, but I showed you that one episode where he gets trapped in the dial and, like, just relives the same thing over and over, but has to, like, break that diamond wall to get to the TARDIS. Yeah, that was a billion years, and he remembers all of it. Like,
well, that's one of the cool things when they do the whole bi-generational thing. How immediately, and that's, like, crazy good acting, like, the two of them, there was no, like, whoa, who are you? Like, immediately knew who they were, all the things, and even, like, the in sequence, like, sometimes they talked separately, and sometimes they were in, like, direct, like, unison with each other.
Right.
And, like, how he immediately knew who Melody was, and Donna, right. And, like, all of them. And there's, like, the weird genuineness of, like, oh, like, I know, not like I know you, but, like, oh, I, like, there was something that he said that, like, really kind of gave me, like, an impression already of, like, to me, I'm like, there's this new person, I don't know who the hell he is, I don't know how this is happening, but, like, none of it was, like, acknowledging the shock. It's like, yeah, I'm here, and, like, okay, there's Donna, there's that, of, like, just kind of already, like, the omniscience.
Right.
But, like, passively, not, like, I know you, like, very declarative, of just, like, oh, yeah, hi.
Yeah, no, so, like, they haven't really got into great detail, like, maybe they will, but the way I've kind of interpreted the bi-generation is it's not just splitting the Doctor in two, it's literally, like, splitting him from his future self. So, like, that Doctor that, I forget what his name is, the actor, but the new Doctor, he is the Doctor that's will regenerate from David Tennant, but because of the weird circumstances, it happened all at once at the same time. So, like, he remembers everything that David Tennant's actor is going to be doing with Donna's family, because he's from technically the future, but not. You know what I mean? So it's really weird. What was the other stuff? There was, before I get to, like, the new stuff as far as, like, what they're going to do with the world, there was one other thing I really wanted to bore down on, but I can't, kept popping on my head. Maybe it'll come back, but I do remember what I wanted to say. So, that's what I was going to do. So, because of the toy maker, they kind of, you wouldn't have caught this as a casual viewer, but they used him to rewrite or to, what's the word I'm looking for? Retcon the last Doctor, like, before David Tennant came back, basically her whole run, because it got really confusing. In a nutshell, they basically, instead of making the Doctor just a Time Lord, the Doctor was now an alien from another dimension that could regenerate infinitely, and a Time Lord scientist found that child and genetically figured out how it worked, and that's how the Time Lords became regenerate. And so what that means is the Doctor would, every, like, 10 regenerations, they would wipe the Doctor's memory, and a new Doctor would go forward thinking that Doctor was the first. So if you watch the date, and if you ask me if this is the first Black Doctor, in those episodes you meet another Doctor who is, like, a Black woman, who is a Doctor that our Doctor doesn't remember being, and that, because she's from one of the previous cycles of regenerations. And it was a very controversial thing, because it's like, that's a lot to, like, change. So what they did with the toy maker, with one line, is say, I made a jigsaw puzzle out of your timeline. So what you can do now is say, oh no, all of that stuff is just the toy maker fucking with the Doctor's history and making things all complicated and weird. So they retconned all that complicated stuff so they don't have to acknowledge it if they don't want to going forward. So I thought that was a really genius idea of writing, because it is a lot to have to, like, juggle at this point of, like, they threw out so much of the old lore and introduced this new lore that's really, really hard to wrap your head around, and, like, how do we do that as we're new show runners? And basically they're also restarting Doctor Who. The next season is going to be called season 1. So But yeah, the other thing that is really interesting, and they've already done it with the Christmas special, is that, like I said, it's become more of a fantasy show. The first, the Christmas special, the doctor meets this woman named, I think, Ruby Sunday, because she's an orphan, and I guess orphans get named by the street they were found on and the day of the week. So she's Ruby Sunday. She was found on a Sunday on Ruby Street, basically. And the whole episode is about literal goblins in a flying wooden ship that is tied together with knots that specifically, if you pull this knot, it does this thing, or if you pull this like central knot, everything breaks. And they steal babies for food. And there's an awesome fucking pop song in the episode about eating a baby. And it's fucking great. But it's complete fantasy in a sci-fi show. And they never stop to say, isn't it fucking weird that there are goblins flying a wooden ship in the sky? It's like, no, this is how the world is now.
It's like, I don't know, because that's like the crossover of, like, I know there's a distinction between sci-fi and, like, fantasy. But, like, aliens. Like, aliens are essentially, like, elves. Like, it's the same thing. We're just, like, here's a culture of thing that, you know, may share some differences and some similarities.
Yeah. No, I could see that, but I think what it's happening is because, like, what they've written in is because the doctor opened that world to superstition and stuff. Not only did the toy maker come through, now there's a possibility of magic and the supernatural that was never in Doctor Who before, because even like when they did an episode about ghosts, it turned out to be a time traveler from the future. So I think that's what we're going to see, is more stuff that's not, doesn't have like a real world scientific equivalent. It's going to be like, this is just straight magic, basically.
Take away some like logic and reasoning kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, a little bit. And maybe that'll be the whole arc, is like kind of like fixing it, but we'll see. I don't know. One of the things that they did, which is really, really, I was really torn on it, but it is funny that they've stuck to it. They did this thing where Donna and the doctor, like in the opening of one of the specials, crashed into the tree that Isaac Newton was sitting under with the apple. And they come out, and Donna says, oh, you should know the gravity of the situation. But they fly away, and then Newton's like, what was that word she used? Navity? And now every time they say gravity, everybody except for the doctor just says Navity as if it's the thing that's always been. And like that was are they really going to stick to that? And yep, if you listen and they say the word gravity, it's going to be Navity. It's just such a weird like choice to make. But I like looking back on it funny, but when I first saw it, I was like, I don't know about that. That seems pretty kind of silly, but okay. But yeah, so definitely new era of Doctor Who. It's the Disney era, so bigger budgets. I'm really looking forward to May when they do the new season starts, and seeing what they end up doing. They've already kind of set up a mystery, because we see Ruby's mother, but she's just kind of weirdly in a cloak and like slowly walking away. So I think the mystery is going to be like, who's Ruby's mother? Also, to make you feel old if you are a Doctor Who fan from the original, Ruby, as a baby that's a few days old, was born like on Christmas 2005, which is the same date as the first special of the reboot, which is now like 20 years ago. Like, 2005 is 20 fucking years ago, and now we've got this girl who was a baby when Doctor Who came back, because we're all so old. Anyway.
Don't know why this came there. This might be like kind of a meta thought, or maybe you already said it, not today.
Uh-huh.
Like, with the Disney stuff, maybe that's why some of the fantasy stuff is like their kind of both third wall, fourth wall break of like acknowledging that Disney now has that.
Right.
And they're putting more Disney themed kind of
maybe
content themes into it.
It has to be part of it, because there's no way they didn't make that tower and say, oh yeah, this is Avengers Tower. Like, so maybe they are like tongue in cheek saying, hey, look at us with our Disney connections.
Like writers and stuff too, like maybe they have like more access to the Disney people, and the Disney people, because they have the Disney mindset, unintentionally brought it in.
Yeah. No, I could definitely see that. So yeah, I think that pretty much covers the giggle. Again, go watch it. If you don't like puppets, at least watch it during the daytime. But it is a really good episode. Yeah, like I said, Wednesday should... We're going to record that later tonight. Hopefully it works. If not, you're going to get another thing with me and DJ Madman. But Artie Vice and I specifically have been having trouble. We don't know what's going on. It's not the app. We are not doing anything differently. But we'll see. We're going to try really hard because I really want to talk about all the stuff that's been going on with wrestling. There's just been a lot of news like the last week that I really want to get into. So, yeah, hopefully we get that on Wednesday. If not, you'll get another one with me and DJ Madman talking about something that I haven't thought about because I'm planning on the other thing working. But, yeah, I hope everybody has a good Monday, and we'll see you soon.
Stay mystical out there.